How beautiful was that? I hope you can all hear and feel the silent clapping and singing along. We're so blessed and so lucky for all the beautiful skills and gifts and talents among our bunch, and the bravery and just the generosity of those who share those gifts with us. So thank you, Nadia, for sharing another beautiful song with us. We look forward to the next one. No pressure. But yeah, good morning all. It's so lovely to see your faces here, and welcome if we've got any guests. And I see a few Queenslanders in the mix, which is beautiful. And anyone further afield who's joining in, it's just really lovely to have you here. And even though we're all a bit far apart, things like this give us a little bit of a sense of that community that we're still a part of, which is a real gift. So we're thrilled that you're here today. I wonder, though, of this bunch of people here, does anyone make to-do lists? Anyone? Yep. I wandered around our house today, and these are a couple of the lists I collected. And now that I work from home as well, there's even more to-do lists in the house because I've got my work to-do list and my life admin to-do list. I'm a big list maker. And yes, I often will write the first item as make list so that I can tick that off as a good start. I find the process of making lists helpful, but I'm not super great at completing the whole list. I often will have multiple lists going. I'm often transferring items from one list to another over months. And sometimes my to-do list can feel a bit heavy. There's lots of things weighing on my mind, all these things that need doing, all these obligations that I have that I haven't fulfilled. And if I'm not careful, I can end up in a mindset that I've kind of failed. Like I'm not living up to all these things I've got on my list that I have to do. I'm not living up to who I'm meant to be and what I'm meant to be able to achieve. And that's a heavy load, a heavier load than some pieces of paper might suggest. And in this week's scripture, we're going to read something that Paul wrote about obligations and heavy loads and the things we ought to do. And this passage we're about to read uses the word debt. But maybe it will help if you think of it as an obligation or something that has to be done. So we're going to read just a really short passage in Romans. If you like to read along or if you want to look it up later, it's Romans 13, verse 8. So that's where we're going now, Romans 13, verse 8. And Paul writes, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." I was reading this passage and that first sentence just jumped out and grabbed me. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. What does that mean? Does it grab you as well? The Jewish tradition that Jesus grew up in, they were epic to-do list makers as well. They had lots of rules for living, and these endless lists of rules for living, they're called the law throughout the Old and New Testament when we read in our Bible. But if we call them a to-do list today, or if we use that analogy, maybe that's a slightly easier idea for us to grasp because we don't quite live in the same culture. But a lot of us still have big long lists of things that we need to do. Anyway, there are 613 commandments or laws in the Torah, the Jewish scripture, which is the first five books of our Christian Bible. And all of these laws they're intended to be really good things. They were about a way of living, things to do and not do that kept people in harmony with their creator God and with each other. But a to-do list that is 613 items long, that's a lot to carry. That's a lot of obligation to feel you're under, maybe a lot of guilt, maybe a sense of burden if inevitably you're not able to tick off every last item on that list. So it's from this culture of endless list making, lots of laws, lots of obligation, that Jesus emerged, and then the early Christian church as well. And from this culture of list making and obligations and that sense of maybe never quite fulfilling all the things you're meant to do, what does Jesus do? There's a story in the Bible where one really important Jewish leader comes up and he brings the to-do list to Jesus. And he says, all right, what's the most important item on the list? And maybe he's trying to trick Jesus a bit or test him and suss out who this guy is. And Jesus looks and he thinks and he says, the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And these were ancient holy words to the Jewish people. They would have been really familiar with them. But Jesus goes on and he says, and the second most important thing is to love your neighbor as yourself. And all the laws, all the items on your list are covered by that. I reckon if he'd been able to, Jesus would have done a mic drop at that point. Imagine that though. Imagine taking all the heavy lists of to-dos and ought-to-dos and obligations and maybe things that became pressures. Imagine crossing them all off and writing instead, love God and love each other. How would that feel? So this takes us to what Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, the little passage we read earlier. Paul echoes Jesus' words that the one thing on our lifelong to-do list that is crucial, the only obligation that we really have, is to love one another always. And all the other things you might put on the list will be covered by that. Because if we're really loving each other, we aren't hurting each other. We aren't cheating each other. We aren't thinking mean things about each other. If we put this debt of love to one another on our list, we're doing something better than just ticking off to-do items, aren't we? We're living a brand new way of life that Jesus brought with him when he came to earth to live among us. So maybe we like the sound of that. Maybe that's intriguing. But what does it look like practically? What does it actually look like in the world, this idea of paying that ongoing debt of love to one another? Because, yeah, look, I'm going to need to uncrumple some of those lists because I still need to pay the bills and fix that thing and not forget to do that. But we're also called to do more with our lives than just tick those boxes. So what does it look like to live out a debt of love to one another? I was chatting to some friends about it in the last couple of weeks, and Michael shared with me two stories that came to mind for him when we talked about this idea of a debt of love. And there were really great examples, I think, of what this can look like in the world. So I've asked if he would just share those stories with us today. So Michael, take it away.
Thanks, Carissa. Fantastic introduction too. So talking about this debt of love, there were so many stories that came to mind. Just every day, I think there's an example of someone paying this debt of love, or the language that made sense to me was passing on the love that we've received. So I'm going to share two stories with you that are very different, and then we're going to chat a little bit about them. So the first one is, I have an auntie and uncle who are in their sort of late 70s, and they decided they wanted to go on a holiday over to Vanuatu. And on this holiday, they met some locals who they stayed with. And the locals told them about a problem that Vanuatu has, where young females who become pregnant before marriage would have their babies and then discard the babies, because in their culture, to become pregnant before you're married is really not acceptable. And so if these women chose to have their babies, they would be excluded from their communities and cut off, and they wouldn't be looked after. So in order to still be part of their communities, they would discard their babies on the side of the road. And this must have invoked something in my uncle and auntie, and they felt so strongly about this and such compassion on these people that they've spent the last 6 to 8 years building a refuge for these women in Vanuatu. And they travel from New Zealand, Australia, Vanuatu all year round, just drumming up resources to put into this project. And it's been a real long, hard slog of paying that debt of love. And they're so passionate about it, and that's fantastic. But for you and me, we see that and it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that level of debt, that level of responsibility. That seems a bit much for me. So I'm going to share with you a second story where someone paid that debt of love. So Fiona and I have some next door neighbours who are Italian. They don't speak much English, and most of our interactions with them have just been hello, hello. That's about the extent of the English we get out of them. But the other day I received a text message during lockdowns from Antonio, who is the neighbour. And I managed from the text message that his wife had made some traditional sourdough Italian pizza that night, which they do every month as a family tradition. And he wanted to know if they could bring some over for us to have for dinner. Which, of course, you're not going to say no to traditional Italian pizza from people that can't speak English. It's got to be the best. Which it was. It was fantastic. And it was such a lovely gesture. And I felt so loved by that. Now, that's a debt of love I can get behind, not just because of the pizza, but it also seems so achievable. And it's something that you can do, as Carissa said, continually throughout your entire life. So in the first story, we saw someone taking on a really large debt, and some people may be called to that, and that's fantastic, and we can all get behind them. But you may be called to a continual debt of paying smaller debts more regularly. And it doesn't matter which one you're called to, they're actually the same debt of love that we participate in together. Yeah, just that overflowing of what God has blessed us with, whatever that might be. So for my next door neighbor, that was being really, really excellent at making pizza. And that's fantastic. And for my uncle and auntie, that was having the resources, the energy and the passion to get behind a project of huge proportions. So those are the two stories I have of sharing our debt of love. Thanks, Carissa.
Thank you, Michael. They're just really beautiful illustrations that I think bring this to life. And maybe that's just part of the challenge, is opening our eyes and acknowledging when we are recipients of that love, or the moments when we have the opportunity to share it as well. I wonder what stories you can think of. I wonder what examples you might share of having seen that in your life. When I was thinking about this during the week, I was thinking about Barb, Austin, and the People's Pantry crew. And for me, that was a really beautiful example of how they have carried on loving people in a really practical way through a pandemic, and being creative and persistent in how they've lived out that debt of love to people in the community. Maybe even some people who are particularly a bit starved for love. And I just thought that was a really beautiful example I could think of what it looks like practically to live this out. But there's one more really interesting thing in the passage I just want to touch on before we move on and we take communion together and acknowledge the great debt of love that Jesus paid for us long ago, but also every day. And the interesting thing, and Michael touched on this and described it so beautifully, is that this passage describes it as let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. And it's described as the continuing debt. So it's like the one outstanding thing you shouldn't ever be done with. And it's more than an item on a to-do list than we can tick off, isn't it? This is where the analogy breaks down, as it always does, because it's so much more than that. It's the one thing we never could and we never should be able to say, right, I'm done. I'm done with paying that debt of love. I've completed it. We are always under this obligation to one another. We're always in debt. Now, normally that language and the thought of a permanently unticked item on my to-do list would feel really heavy, but this one doesn't. Do you know why? For me, it's two reasons. Firstly, because this is a beautiful debt to be in. And secondly, it's because we don't carry this debt alone. Seriously, what a glorious debt to be in. I can't think of any other debt or bill in my life that is beautiful in the way that this one. What a glorious way to understand what we're called to do here on earth. What a glorious command from our King. And it blows my mind that our faith that often in popular culture gets described as a big list of do's and don'ts, right? In fact, what it really is the radical call to walk with our Creator every day and to love each other endlessly. And if you really want to blow someone's mind, how about the idea that this love we're called to show one another, this love that Michael described, this love that I'm sure you can think of examples in your own life, this is the very same love that's flowing abundantly from our Creator God who first loved us. Elsewhere in our Bibles, in 1 John chapter 4, there is a beautiful passage about God's love. And in there we read the words, we love because he first loved us. We love because God first loved us. This continuing debt of love is not a debt that we pay with our own efforts. Not with our own cleverness or our own compassion. Even on our worst days, we could still be paying this debt because the currency is the one capital L love. God's love that he gives us freely and that he wants us to accept and that he asks us simply to share. And there's an abundance of it, don't worry. So we're not going to run out. As we head into maybe one more week of lockdown in Victoria, maybe a couple more, I don't know, we'll find out. And whatever kind of weeks we have, wherever we're living, this is a particularly hard and challenging year in lots of ways. So let's open our eyes to how that debt of love is being paid and passed on all around us as God splashes his abundant love over and through us. Let's ask God to show us how his new world is at work through his endless love. Let's maybe ask him to help us reorganize our own to-do lists if we need to. And let's praise him with thankfulness that all he asks of us is to share his love around, over and over. So as we think about that, I'm going to pass it over to my lovely assistant, and Matt's going to lead us in communion.